Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 77. I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Tim.
And this is the episode where we discuss films.
Three very different films.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We each bring a movie to the table and discuss them live on air. Every even episode, we do that with topics. And last week, we had some really great topics. We got into really a little further into spiders than we'd like to initially. Some of the funniest things I've ever heard Tim say and laugh and, oh my God.
Oh, that's funny.
It was a good time.
It was a good time.
So that one's up there. Please go listen to that one. It's a great time. We also are on iTunes. Subscribe there. We're on Stitcher. You can follow us there. Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood, and Twitter, NQH Pod. Email us. Give us a topic or movie to discuss of your choice. Go watch it for you.
Or tweet us or anything.
Yeah.
Just guys, love us. Just send us something. We're alive. We're here.
Email is notquitepod@gmail.com. Now we got all the formalities out of the way. We're going to discuss three very different films today, as Alex mentioned. But let's start off with Alex.
Okay.
What movie did you want to bring to the table today?
Well, I finally saw Breakfast Club for the first time ever.
Wow.
And it's because the first time I watched it, I fell asleep through all of it. So this time I actually stayed awake. And it was
great. That's funny. I actually saw it for the first time probably right when Pitch Perfect came out, just because I was like...
Interesting. That's right. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, because that's the only reason I had any desire to watch Breakfast Club was because...
They wouldn't shut up about it.
I know. And so I'm like, now it's like a subliminal message when I was watching Pitch Perfect. Go see Breakfast Club. So I did.
I had a pretty good story about my first experience with this film. I've only seen it once. I was holed up in the hospital, and I had a massive back pain, and I didn't know why. I didn't ask the nurse for any help. That's when I had leukemia. And after Saturday Night Live, there was something else on, and then after that, there was a movie. It was Breakfast Club. So I stayed up till 4 in the morning, tried sleeping the whole time, couldn't. But I was enamored with this film. It was such a cool, coming-of-age tale with these different six very different high schoolers.
Yeah. And it keeps you awake, for sure.
Yeah.
It's super interesting.
Also, I had no idea, the girl who's she's wearing black.
Ally Sheedy.
Yeah, she's in...
Short Circuit?
No, Psych.
She's in Short Circuit, too.
She's in Psych, too?
She's in Psych.
Oh, no kidding.
She's the villain in a couple episodes.
Nice.
I didn't realize that she was in Breakfast Club, and then I watched it, and I was like, she looks really familiar. And then I was like, oh my God, she was in Breakfast Club.
You know, we've all had those moments with different groups of people where we just bond and really deep bond, cry kind of a thing. You know, really takes you back to think of those people that you've done that with and different people throughout your life, especially people in high school. So it was really cool. And it was also real insight that everyone has their baggage. Like the popular girl has it, the bully, the nerdy guy, the goth girl who doesn't talk. They all had something that bothered them and really hit home for them. So it really humanized all those different groups.
Well, I think it's interesting because John Hughes has had a knack for really embodying the high school mentality in a way that many people can't do.
No.
And what's funny about it is he's so adept at that, but then in the end, high school doesn't really mean much. But when you're watching it fresh out of high school or around the early 20s, when you're still kind of mentally developing who you're going to be for the rest of your life, there's a really interesting effect that this film gives you or leaves with you. And it really makes you ruminate on your own high school career and your relationships in high school. And it's a really cool, effective way of hitting those heartstrings that you thought maybe lay dormant for a while or thought were gone. But it's just weird how high school really doesn't mean anything. But when you watch these kinds of films, it brings you back to those days. Yeah. It was all that mattered.
Yeah. And I think it even talks about life now and there's relationships that you have with people. Even I thought the movie left on a cliffhanger. Are they still going to be friends after? You don't know. Are they going to say hi to each other in the hallway and things? So it's you never know with people in life either if you're going to really keep in contact with them or not. But, what do you guys think? Did they stay friends? I think some of them did, but...
I think some of them, but then I don't think... for me, it didn't quite matter. Because what they experienced there was... Even if that was the only time that they actually saw each other, it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think the song's at it best, I don't think it's going to be they're going to hang out again. But the memory of that day together will forever live with them, you know?
Well, they meant to make sequels. Like, it was going to be every 10 years, they were going to come back and do something. But
I'm like really happy they didn't.
I wish they did, because then it'd be like a before, like the before series. Because John Hughes and what's his name who played the bully?
Judd Nelson.
Yeah, they had a fight, so that's why they didn't do sequels.
I just feel like for a movie like that, it kind of, I like that it was just, that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, my high school experience was very different than a lot of people's. I graduated in a class that was the size of 8 students.
What?
Yeah, my graduating senior class was 8 students.
Damn.
So the entire school from K through 12 was about 250. So it was a very, very small school. And my high school experience was not like that at all. It was always just kind of the, like when I watched it, I was like, this reminds me of what I wanted to experience in high school, but then I never did. Because every time you watch any kind of rom-com, especially in like the early 2000s, you see the structure of a high school, but then I just never lived with that before. So like it was a different kind of nostalgia. It reminded me of like, oh, I wish I was a part of that kind of a school.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that meant that I would have for sure been like one of the bullied kids. I was a fat kid, so I mean, it would have been a nightmare for me, and like, but it was definitely something that I felt like I was missing as a part of the American culture, because I just didn't have the opportunity to grow up with that. So me watching that movie wasn't very nostalgic in a sense that like I remembered high school, but it was just like I remembered the idea of high school that I had that I kind of always wanted.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to stop, but he kept rambling.
I'm sorry.
Cut the AC. And I thought my high school class was small. It was 96, but the 4 of them didn't graduate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was, yeah, I thought it was, and I still hear that too. Like, even like in Central and Southern Maine, it was like, oh, our class was like 400. You know, it's insane. And out here, there's like 1,000 kids per class.
I know, it's insane.
Ridiculous. I don't think there's enough people in the world. Like, I think there's so many people. I'd love to see the dynamic in that kind of high school where there's so many people in one class that are there a certain amount of cliques of certain types? Like, is there 3 different cliques of jocks because there's too many fucking kids?
I mean, I feel like from what I saw, especially in college, because in college, you know, we were 1,000 students per year, you know, like, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, they were all 1,000 each. So it was very cliquey when it came to the different kinds of sports that they did. So like the cross country runners would be their own clique, the volleyball guys, the football guys. And so it wasn't like, oh, the jocks, quote unquote, it was like, oh, they're the cross country runners.
Yeah.
Or they're the dancers, they're the musical theater kids, they're the street theater kids, they're you know, all that stuff kind of segmented itself, I guess, mm-hmm. into the different kinds of cliques.
Any closing thoughts, Alex? I mean, I think this definitely speaks to you, this film.
Like in the fraternity, it was people from all kinds of different backgrounds. There were definitely like the popular kids and people like me, and we all kind of bonded. And I think when you get in a close setting like that, it's really cool to really bond with people like that. I've done that with a few groups throughout my life, so it really like brought me back. And I just think it's super, super nostalgic, the movie, and it really like hits home for a lot of reasons. So I liked it a lot.
I just thought of something. It's almost as if the Hughes was trying to show that when you get to talk to anyone from different walks of life, you have a lot more in common than you think you do. And that's such like a good message to have overall. Like to reach out and talk to strangers. Yeah. You mean, unless they have a trench coat, probably want to avoid those.
And it's also a good message that people act differently around other people.
Yeah.
Than by themselves.
Right. Like they all had like their own cliques to kind of dance around. Once they're out of that setting, they're able to more connect with anyone.
Yeah.
They don't have to put the self-effacing, you know, cliche up.
Which I've definitely found with people throughout life. Like, I've been like, okay, I can hang out with him as long as he's not with his other friends because he's cool.
That's crazy. But, yeah, it's such a shitty thing to think about.
And I mean, definitely some people do better individually, one-on-ones, and some people do better in group settings. And so when you get them from one setting to the other, I feel like the way that they approach whoever they're with changes.
But yeah, speaking of friends in a school.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, those early on first friends you ever make.
Let's travel to a faraway land called Hogwarts to talk about the film I wanted to bring up, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. This is a monumental occasion for me because I have never seen or read a single adaptation of this series.
Yet, he was an assistant director on a short about Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to know much about the adaptation. I let the people who did know Harry Potter write that, and then we kind of subverted it a little bit to make it a little more unique. But hey, I'll link to that in the show notes.
Wow.
But yeah, Harry Potter, I was never vehemently against watching them. It's just that I just never got the chance to watch them.
So you don't know, like, anything?
No.
No.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you for sure, but do you, like, know, do you have a list of the people, you know, who die in this series?
No, he has no idea.
I've heard of some people dying. I just can't remember who the fuck they were.
Okay.
I'm not going
to
look it up.
Oh, my gosh. We need to have, like, 3 days where you are not working and you watch all 8 movies.
That's a commitment. I'll watch them over time.
Yeah, I think I watched the first one, and it was so funny because he'd ask me questions and it was like, not in this movie. You'll get that answer in another movie.
Oh, man. Because I've had people, like when I was reading the 7th book, I'm not giving any names, but after the first death, I caught up with a friend and I was like, yeah, I just got to this part. And he legit looked at me and was like, well, this person dies, this person dies, this person dies, and this person dies. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You just, like, someone did the same exact thing for Game of Thrones for me. And I'm like, okay, well, now I don't want to watch it.
No.
I hate spoilers.
I know. I really do. I spoiled the Good Place finale for my sister, and I feel really bad.
See, even if somebody spoiled Harry Potter, like, if somebody emailed us, the only reason they email us is despite me, I would still watch them. Yeah. That wouldn't ruin the experience for me, because I used to be really, like, against spoilers. Now it's like, if I am against spoilers, I will not tell people, because I do get people who do that to me.
Mm-hmm. That's very
purposely
true.
Attack me. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, this is what happened. So if you want to bring it on, listeners, go ahead. Go fucking ahead. I don't care. But I'm going to watch them all eventually.
So I have a question for you. So good. So watching it, I hadn't seen it in like 8 or 9 years, the first movie. Watching it back, I felt like there's a lot of world building, which I thought was cool because I'd read the books. But did you find it boring, or did you still find it interesting, Jamie?
I found it pretty interesting. I thought the world building was really effective, and it was not confusing at all. There were some things that, I mean, I had ancillary knowledge of like Quidditch and Diagon Alley. I knew that term. Bernie Bot's Better Beans or something like that.
Every Flavor Beans.
I love those. I used to get those all the time. They were fucking great. I love the shitty flavors. They're great. If it wasn't a kid's book, they would totally have like shit and semen. I know they would.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're
so close.
It's
every fucking flavor.
I know, right?
They have snot
like
and
tobacco
earwax.
Chew.
And, oh, yeah, tobacco chew. Yeah, oh, they do have vomit.
Yeah, I've had vomit. I've had them all. Ooh. I'm just saying the ones I'd like to see.
Oh, man, we can go so dirty with this whole thing. But we're not going to do that. What did you think about the fantasy element of the whole thing?
Oh, that was another reason why I guess I didn't really like actively seek out the films. I'm not much of a fantasy guy.
Okay, but like, because pretty much with the ways that the films were directed, the first two were directed by the same guy.
Yeah, and Chris Columbus.
Mm-hmm, and then it changes to, the third one was
Alfonso
Cuarón. And then it eventually taken over by David Yates.
Yeah, he did a lot of them, right?
He did a lot of them. He also did the Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
But what did you think of? I'm really interested to see what you think of how the first and second one turned out, and then how it takes a sharp turn in its like style in the third one.
Because I really like the first two styles.
I really do too. You're gonna see the wand that he gets in the first one when it chooses him.
Yeah.
Completely different look than in the third one.
Okay, but the tone in the first one, and I'm sure the second one's going to do the same, I like that kind of tone. Like, Chris Columbus has directed some of my favorite movies. Home Alone, he directed. That's all I really think of when I think of him. He's done some other ones, so I've never been against his tone. Like, I like his more family-friendly tone, but I'm really excited to see that turn, because I love Alfonso, I love the darker side of things. And yeah, I'm looking forward to them. Yeah, I wish I read the books, but when the first one came out, I was 16, so I wasn't really interested in reading that book, you know? I didn't read much back then.
Man, the fourth book was my introduction to the books, because I watched the first three before I read any books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so after it was the third movie that had just come out, and then I'm like, I want to figure out what happens next, so I read the fourth one. And then I read On from that, and then I went back and read the first and second one, and someone stole my third copy. So I never actually read The Prisoner of Azkaban, but...
I read them as they came out, and then I saw the movies as they came out. I didn't see the first two in theaters. Saw the third one in theaters. The fourth one is the one I'm like, I remember the book, I remember the movie. Like, watching the movie being like, that happened.
Yeah.
But the first three, I was like... I don't know.
I think that was really the same with me, because I watched the first two in China... and the third one I watched in theaters when I came back here for a summer. And the fourth one was the first time I actually got to see a movie in theaters by myself in China. So it was like a momentous occasion for me. Mm-hmm. And that was right after I've read I finished all the books that I could up until that point, but when the fourth movie came out. I loved it.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked they pulled off the adventure really well. Some stretch, like Harry's... a natural at Quidditch. I mean, I guess his dad was the Seeker, fine, but it's kind of a little, not even a mini training montage. Just like immediately he's like fucking boom right after, what's his fucking name? Malfoy.
Oh, through the Remember All?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That thing. God damn these terms. I watched Fantastic Beasts before watching these. So.
Well, wow. That's actually it's really fascinating then. Because yeah. It is a completely precursor to everything. So. Yeah, how did you like it?
It was fine. I had a good time.
Nice. Were you thrown off by the twist that Quirrell was actually the villain? Because I know you were like laughing sometimes when he was stuttering. You were like, "Who is this guy?"
Yeah, I definitely didn't think about him. But I forgot to pay attention to that because I was kind of just enamored with the world. Honestly, when they took the stone out of the 1713. I forgot it was called the Sorcerer's Stone. I'm like, oh, that's what this one's about. That's right. This whole fucking time, I'm like, yeah, I forgot all about it. And then so a service.
That's right. Because you asked me, like, are we going to find out what's in that? And I was like, yeah.
I was like, in this movie, though? And because I forgot what it was called.
That's right.
And
right.
Anyway, so I was just watching Snape because he's such a dick. And he's still a dick, even if he's not the bad guy in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, he's still like kind of a cock.
He's a difficult dude.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just really funny. I want to go back and watch the scene where he's counterspelling and see if the other fucker, the stuttering fucker, is saying anything in the actual image.
Does it ever show Quirrell doing anything? At the end, does it show him?
Yeah, I was watching. Okay. He stood up and the fire went off. He like looked down and stood up.
Yeah.
So you could tell, yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, speaking of cocky British men, let's talk about a communal film. So Tim has not watched the film yet. Alex? So for those of you who don't know, we're recording this first, completely pulling the curtain back here. Tim has not seen the film, so while he's making his way over, we're going to talk about Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I think it's funny that Tim made this communal film and he hasn't got a chance to see it yet. That motherfucker.
That is pretty funny.
Tim, how dare you?
Not as funny as Elton John in the movie.
Elton John... Man, he stole every scene he was in. I didn't think he was that funny. And now I do. But, so yeah, you wanted to see this as well.
I was so excited. I was like, people were like, no, it's not going to be as good as the first. And I was like, you guys are just negative Nancys or whatever they call it. I don't know what.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So I was like, no, it's going to be great. And then I went to see it. And it was fun. But, I mean, it wasn't any, like, of the first Kingsman, like... I thought I was missing a lot from the first one. It's hard to be original with a sequel because it's obviously not original because the first one was original, but it was missing the villain was like a drug kingpin, which is kind of stereotypical. She didn't have, at this point, she didn't have some crazy like thing wrong with her. Like, I thought that's what was really cool. Like they literally took from Bond in the first one. I thought they were going to keep going with that.
Yeah, but you were asking about if she had any physical or focal ailment, and I don't think that's what it's about. I think she was just, she had a motivation.
Yeah.
That made sense.
Yeah.
And she had a psychiatric issue, and she was holed up in a jungle, and she was kind of insane because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrated that she has to hide and make all this money, and she can't, like the liquor, like the liquor agencies, like tobacco and other things like that, they don't have to worry about hiding.
Yeah.
So that's I get that. That's a pretty cool idea. But so let's talk spoilers. So Charlie Hesketh is the failed. Okay.
Well, first of all,
Kingsman that comes back.
First of all, the spoiler. What's with these movies and eating people right now? Like It 1 week, then Mother, then Kingsman. Like 3 weeks in a row, we have movies with eating people in it.
I think it's fine. It's just a coincidence. I like this scene because it really was
it was
disturbing as shit.
Yeah.
And it made me uncomfortable, but I like the fact they went that far.
Yeah.
Like, they really didn't hold any punches.
No, they didn't.
Or pull any punches. So why the fuck did they put Channing Tatum in the poster and all of a sudden he's in there for like 5 minutes?
I don't know. I was kind of mad about that because I was like, he was really cool, the parts he was in. And then they were like, oh, we'll just put him on ice for the rest of the movie. And I wanted to see more of him. I think he's a really good actor. Like, Logan Lucky, he's great. There are a lot of films where he's really good, so I would have liked to see more of him. I feel like it was scheduling issues, though.
Yeah, it had to have been scheduling, just because it was so fucking apparent. Like, he's like, oh, he's frozen now.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's... I mean, I guess they had to have somebody they knew that was affected, but then all of a sudden, Eggy didn't have his girlfriend or fiance or whatever. So it wasn't like they didn't have anyone to work with, you know, to fight for.
And speaking of his fiance, I was not a huge fan of that storyline. I mean, I get she came from the first movie, but I don't know.
I didn't think he'd stay with her. I thought he was going to get with Roxy, and then Roxy fucking dies.
Yeah. And they killed everybody.
Merlin fucking dies. Like, yeah. God damn it.
And like we were talking about, like, if they come back in the next one, I might be a little bit mad because I feel like there are no stakes if they keep bringing people back. Like, they brought Colin Firth back in this one.
Yeah.
Which was fine because he was great in he was a fan favorite in the first one, but like, you can't bring Mark Strong back for the next one.
I'm really frustrated because they didn't need to kill him.
That's true. They didn't.
They killed everybody else. And what bugs me the most about it is that he was like aiming to be an agent, and he's finally had his chance to get the suit up and he got to go with them. And like, yeah, that's a good point to kill somebody when they had like made it, and like that's their peak.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wanted to see more of him in the group and actually working together, and maybe like him and Halle Berry maybe hooking up, because they seemed like they had this like attraction because they were very similar people. Like, they were like the M's of their respective organizations.
Yeah.
Or Q's, rather. But I just don't get it. Now they're going to do like what? The third one's going to be Kingsman Statesman?
I don't really care about the Statesman. Like, it'd be cool if Channing Tatum was in it. I don't really care if Halle Berry's not in it, if Jeff Bridges isn't in it. Like, they didn't really... I feel like Colin Firth was the Jeff Bridges of the last movie.
Yeah.
But, and he, like, stole the show in the last one. Like, he was so cool. And Jeff Bridges really didn't do that for me. Halle Berry didn't... I really liked Mark Strong in the last one. Halle Berry didn't really do it for me much. Like, she was cool, but I wasn't like, oh, man, I want to see more of her, you know?
Right. I don't know. I liked Jeff Bridges. He wasn't really a big part of the
I like his name. That was really cool. Champagne.
He was Champagne. Champ, yeah.
It was great.
That was pretty cool. I just wish, man. I don't know. I don't know. I kind of liked Whiskey, the Mexican cowboy, but he was a dick the whole time. And I like, so his turn was interesting to me. Like, we were talking about this after the film, but he has his own motivations. He's not working with the enemy.
Main Statesman guy?
Yeah, Whiskey.
Yeah.
With Lasso. Yeah, like, he's not turning on them because he is with the villain. He has his own motivations. Like, he likes the idea where these people can die and,
yeah,
you know, and kind of get rid of all this crime, because he had a backstory with his girlfriend or fiance getting killed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was fun, but I just, you know... It was like, okay, there's sequel, but I wasn't like, oh my god. Like, the first one, I just watched it a few months ago. I think we talked about it, and like, my mind was blown. I was like, this is a great movie. I think it's one of the best action movies of the 21st century.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like this took it down a peg where they should have gone up more.
So I like this series because it doesn't really take itself seriously. And I like that. It's fun. It's a good movie. It's a good ride. But then the second one went almost jumped a shark. You know, almost went too far.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was going to be is like, oh, this is a modern Bond now. Like, this is like today. If Bond was made today, this is what Bond would be. But then, oh, like this kind of craziness with the whole like the something gel pack on your face, like stopping bullet wounds. Like it's cool, but it's a little too much.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's how they wrote
yeah.
Colin Firth back in. I'm like, yeah. God damn it. And of course, like they land after he gets shot in the head at the church.
I felt like they really didn't need to show that.
Well, it's good that they explained it because it would have been like really pissing me off if they didn't say something. But still, it's just kind of hokey. And it feels like a little overdone.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim's here now. We're going to stop talking about Kingsman, I think. And to finish the episode, I want to talk about the 52 pickup. My 38th of the year is the film, which I don't think you guys have ever heard of. It's called House 2, The Second Story. It's a good pun.
No, I have not heard of it.
Speaking of sequels.
So I remember watching this on USA. Like maybe I was like 7 years old. So I was like 92 or so. The film freaked me out because it had some really... the music was amazing, first off. And the villain, which is his name is Slim, had like a terrifying voice. Come to find out, the music was from Harry Manfredini, who did the best of the Jason Voorhees movies. And then the voice of the villain was Frank Welker, who's done millions of voices. Like he has the most on IMDb of anybody ever.
To have done voices?
To done any credits.
Like, oh, just on any credits.
He's like over 1,000 credits.
Oh, my God.
Because he has like a really... Like, you ever see Inspector Gadget?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's Dr. Claw.
Oh, my God.
Like, he has that voice. He does a lot of animals. Like, he does like a couple in here, and it's just fucking hilarious because he's done everything you can think of. Like, if you go on his IMDb, you'd be blown away by the shit he's done. And he also did Megatron in the newer movies, not with Hugo Weaving, but also in the original show as well. So he's been around for a long time doing his thing. But yeah, it was weird because there was only a couple of shots I remember from this film. There was like a doorway to a secret room that they had to break the wall to get to, and then a showdown outside of the house. At the end, those two things that stay with me for years, and I haven't seen it, I don't think, since. But let's just get the basic premise. So the film is about this guy who moves into this house that you cut in the cold open to his parents getting murdered in this house by this villain.
Geez.
And the baby was sent off before he could get to him. And
just like Harry Potter.
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, really quick aside. His uncle and aunt are pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
suck.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. All right, back to this. Fuck those guys. Petunia and some asshole.
Vernon.
Ugh.
And Dudley.
Dudley can get fucked.
Make it move.
So he comes back to this house. It's a family house. And you find out that there was this skull, like the crystal skull, that was found in the house, or there was rumors of it being in the house with like these jewels on the eyes. So he finds like if like old book that like, oh, it's buried with, in the olden days they used to bury you with your treasure. So he digs up his great great grandfather and he chokes him. His grandfather's alive and chokes him.
Wow.
This crystal skull has powers to keep people alive or bring them back from the dead. So he's just been waiting for... He's like, I've been waiting 7 years for some jackass to open this casket.
Huh.
And it turns out it's his great-great-grandson. But anyway, so he hangs out with this guy. He called him Gramps because he's named after him. His name is Jesse McLaughlin. And he was an old... like an old West robber. He would rob, like, you know, train cars and all this kind of stuff. Stagecoaches and shit. And he killed his partner, who was the villain, Slim. Because he was going to turn on him and kill him, so he killed him first. And it's just a really interesting thing. Like, the Gramps goes on to explain this house is like a temple. It's like a Mayan temple, but in America, that houses this crystal skull. That's why it's there. So it has a lot of different like supernatural elements to it. It goes really off the rails, but in a fun way. Like, he goes into this room that becomes like this pterodactyl's lair in the jungle. So he has to go, like, the pterodactyl grabs the skull. He has to go get it from him at, like, this high treetop. And when he falls off of it, he falls through the like the next floor of the house. So it's like,
wow,
it's part of the house, but it's like in a mystical way. It's like a dimensional portal kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another one where, but it was like each room had like its own like attributes and stuff. And there's a whole side story with his girlfriend who is a music manager. His friend Charlie comes over with his girlfriend, trying to get her a deal. And then him and Charlie just hang out the whole time and with Gramps and try to protect his skull. It's really comical, over the top. It's like a fantasy PG-13, but apparently the original was an R-rated like horror.
Oh, wow.
So they really, it's like, kind of like Gremlins and Gremlins 2. They went a completely different direction, but kept the same premise. It was really weird. It was really cool, though. It's fun to watch.
Huh.
There's four of the films. I don't think, I've never seen any of them besides this one. So I don't know if they're good or not, but it would be interesting to go back and see what connects between them.
That would be fascinating.
But it was a weird horror comedy.
You said House 2?
House 2, colon, the second story.
So was there a House 1?
Yeah.
So is it
that was
like
the horror.
Oh.
85. Right. This was 87.
So, okay. 86. With like Trolls 2. So is it kind of like that where people only know the second one, or is it just...
I only know the second one because I've only ever seen that one. But I guess they mentioned this in Scream 2. Like talking about the best sequels, like Godfather Part 2, and then House 2 was a better movie than the first.
Oh.
I don't remember that scene, but you know, Jamie Kennedy was always that movie guy.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. I don't know.
That's fascinating.
It was fun. Bill Maher was in there as like the guy who's trying to take his girlfriend away. like her boss or something like that. John Ratzenberger, who Alex immediately heard. He's like, is that the guy from the Pixar movies? Like, yeah, like it's Ham from, I can't do his voice. And he was playing this character named Bill. He's an electrician that he finds a secret room. And he gives him a card after he leaves. Like, he goes on an adventure with him, like, and has a sword and everything. And then he gives him the card, electrician/adventurer. It was so campy and fun.
Wow.
It was a good time. But yeah, that's House 2.
Wow.
So it did hold up?
It was way better than I remembered. Like, again, I was terrified of it as a kid, but it's really a fun movie. It's really not horrific at all. But as a kid, you know, you're afraid of everything. Fucking baby.
I feel like there was a movie recently that I saw that I was so terrified as a kid, but when I watched it as an adult, I was like, this is so much fun.
So where can we find you guys on social media and such?
Planet of the Apes scared me as a kid. Sorry.
Which one?
The trailers for the Mark Wahlberg one.
Oh, no. That scared me because it was so shitty.
The one that Tim Burton did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I couldn't finish that movie.
I never saw it.
Oh, God. Like, I couldn't. I started watching it, and I halfway through, I was like, nope. Mm-hmm. Done.
It happens, man. You get scared of shit easily.
Ooh, this is a Phantom of the Opera for me when I first saw it.
The 2004 one?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely terrified.
Huh.
For some reason. And then a couple months later, I watched it again, and I was like, fucking musicals, I love it.
I think it was 2005, actually, because Emmy Rossum made her first thing in Day After Tomorrow in 2004, and then she was in that.
I feel like it was the same year, though.
Really?
I don't know. Let me see. But then,
that's
then
fine.
And then Poseidon came right after that.
Yeah.
With Fergie.
God damn it. Where can we find you?
Go for it.
You can find me on Instagram at Tim Jim Lim Artist, or Twitter, Tim J Lim.
It's such a long, like, Instagram name.
Tim Jim Lim Artist. It is, but I had another one that was TimTJ91, and it just, like, it was mostly strictly just for photos. And I was like, Tim Jim Lim was also already taken. So I was like, okay, I'll just put Tim Jim Lim Artist and be a fucking pretentious asshole.
Oh, damn.
And that is my Instagram. It's actually about a year ago that I created that this Instagram.
Done really good with followers.
I try. I'm a follow whore. Please cut that out.
Sorry, you're done.
I'm done.
So you can follow me on Instagram at meandmyblazer. And you can, what else can you do?
Doggone.
Read my reviews, doggone movie reviews.
And he's also a follow whore. No, I'm just kidding. Aren't we all, though? It's kind of like the society's norm. To worry about followers.
There's something like when you see a follower, it triggers something in your brain that's equivalent to drugs.
Yeah, it's like an endorphin.
So, oh yeah, and it's seriously like our digital drug is to see the likes and the follows that you get.
Or when you get retweeted by a celebrity or commented,
like, it gives you. Day. I know.
Oh, I thought you said. I thought it was my dick hard. That's what you totally thought was gonna happen. That's great. Jinx.
Oh God. You owe me a Coke.
But yeah, so I'm on Twitter and Instagram at guyonawire, just like man on a wire. And that's also the website, guyonawire.com, where you can listen to the entire backlog of 77 episodes of this show, check out our reviews and We Need Movies, my cancer story. I'm putting a chapter a week until I'm done writing, and I'm going to start putting two a week to get that kind of accelerated. It's been a long process, but I'm almost there.
Yeah, that's good.
And follow us on Twitter at NQHpod, Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood, and for the love of Christ... For the love of God, please email us at notquitepod@gmail.com with any suggestions for movies for us to watch or a topic that we may not have discussed yet. And until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Tim.
And
bye.
Bum, 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 bum.
Fucking John Williams, man.
I know.
Good stuff.
The king himself.